Kia ora and welcome to Ngā Kōrero Auaha Creative Stories, a podcast from Te Kite Wānanga o Ōtautahi, Christchurch City Libraries. This is a series in which we share some of our most impactful and interesting stories happening within libraries. I'm your host, Claire. To carry on from our previous episode where we spoke with Henry Lawton, the CEO of Victoria, about hosting esports in the library, here's a conversation between Bridie and one of the teams who competed in the 2021 League of Legends tournament. These rangatahi, led by their coach, Crystal Leong, played competitively for Riccarton High School and used the Upper Riccarton Computer Lab for coaching sessions, sometimes twice a week. As a result of the high attendance within the library for esports training and some diligent work from Christchurch City Library staff, Sports Canterbury, through a Christchurch City Council grant, funded the purchase of some unique esports equipment, keyboards and computer mice, optimised for gaming. Access to this equipment for free has previously been inaccessible for many rangatahi, and we'd like to take this opportunity to thank Sports Canterbury for their willingness to get involved and tautoko this kaupapa. Later on in the episode, we'll hear from Evie Howell, an esports and events commentator, about their experiences working within a growing industry in New Zealand. For now, we'll let the kids and Crystal introduce themselves.
Okay, I am here with the coach and the Upper Riccarton High School League of Legends team. I'd like you guys to introduce yourself, starting with Vladimir.
I'm Vladimir. And I'm a high school student in Riccarton High School. I'm year 12, and I like math.
Cool. My name is Crystal, and I was one of the student teachers of Riccarton High School, and then I decided to join the esports team, and now I'm the coach of Riccarton High School esports team.
Anyways, I'm Brian. That's me. I'm year 12 as well from Riccarton High School, and unlike Vlad, I hate maths because I'm so good at it.
Whoa.
I know.
So my next question is, are you guys good?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys good at League?
Good at League.
League of Legends is a strategy game with multiple players facing their opponents in an online battle arena where each player controls a character who has a special set of skills.
I wouldn't actually say I'm good, but like... I'll say I'm like around average, I suppose, because I'm currently playing three accounts, and those three accounts, I'm trying to get them to platinum and all. But yeah, tough.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, you're obviously good because you're a coach.
Well, I think it really depends on how you define good, because my main role is a support, but I reckon my map readings and concepts and like timings of stuff are pretty good. So I think that's why I'm still playing this game, or else I would just be really tilted and deleted this game like ages ago. Yeah.
I really wanted to talk to you, Crystal, specifically about something, which is the difference between coaching an esports team and coaching like a real sports team, and like what people say to you when you say, I coach a League of Legends team, versus what people might say to you when you say, oh, I coach a soccer team.
Yeah, to be honest, I think the concept of having an esports team is still being challenged nowadays, because people don't really consider esports as sports. But, it really depends on the definition of sports. Some people think that chess is a sport. Some people think table pool is a sport, but both of those doesn't really involve like a lot of body movement, like really sweaty, you know how like your traditional sports is. But in my opinion, esports team compared to a traditional sports team, esports team is way harder to coach than like a usual, let's say, football team or a swimming team, because esports is still new, and not a lot of people have developed like a really good way to coach yet. It's not like, hey, you need to run like three laps before you get into the football field. Like we don't really have that kind of warm up. And then even though esports is an easier sport to set up, for example, like with League of Legends you only need like five people and five computers and you basically can like roll onto the game. But the thing is, because it is so easy to access, the chance of failing and losing is more high as well. And it's And this hits students way harder than a football game. Because one game is about, it takes about like 30 to 45 minutes, is pretty fast. And if the game is one-sided, it can be finished and done in 15 minutes, like surrender early. So this kind of failure actually hits students a lot. And think about if you lose like one game and then you'll be like, okay, never mind, we can go for a second game. And then you go for the second game and then you lose again. It's still okay, I can go for the third game, yeah? And then you go for the third game, you lose it. And then the fourth game, you lose it. And then the fifth game, you lose it. You lost five games in a row. It's so hard for students to pick it up again.
Whereas you guys can just keep playing and keep playing and keep losing or keep winning.
Yeah, or keep winning. But this, and I think like this is a really valuable lesson for everyone to learn, because in real life society, you don't always get to win. Like you always have a lot of hard times. Things are usually not in your way, you know? And I really hope that my students or even my team can learn this kind of the good attitude or correct attitude to facing their failures.
Yeah, resilience.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you guys? Do you guys struggle with like talking to your friends and being like, ah, I'm on the esports team rather than the rugby team, or your parents being like, oh, mum and dad, I'm joining a team where we play a video game versus I'm joining a team where we kick a ball around?
Not really, because my family supports me on playing games.
Cool.
And my friends do like playing games as well, and so like they were actually surprised that I joined the esports team, and then they were like, oh, I want to join as well. And then they were like, maybe next year. But yeah,
that's all. What about you, Brian?
My parents, I told them about the esports and I don't think they care. But when I play video games at home, they get mad at me because, you know, I don't do work and stuff. And like for my friends, most of my friends just makes fun of me for like being the esports, you know, team. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about like destigmatizing with gaming, like what is the stereotype of a kid who sits inside playing games all day versus like what we see at esports competitions where you see like the champions all like cheering for each other, or like after you guys have a really good game, you all are hugging and high-fiving and hanging out, and you know what I mean?
For me, right, it's more like a passion, and like it's actually what you want to do, and like continuous game will make you actually very, very tired. It's just like actually just playing like a real sport itself.
Yeah. So you get sort of like the mental exhaustion as well.
Yeah.
You get clicking exhaustion, your hands get sore.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and I think I kind of think the stereotyping of gaming has changing over the years as well. So since there is a thing called League of Legends World Tournament, some players are having like really amazing performance. They even come out and become one of like the brand leaders of some kind of brand. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because so, it brings finances into it.
Yeah, yeah, like that kind of thing. So I think the old stereotyping of gaming is kind of from like an older generation saying that, oh, you don't do anything, you just stay at home and play games and you don't really see the sunshine. you're basically drinking like Coke and like eating junk food and sitting in front of a computer. Like that kind of stereotype. Yeah. But like looking at pro gamers nowadays, a lot of them are actually fit, like physically fit.
I've heard that some coach for their team, they actually make the players do exercise to like stay in shape.
Hmm.
So have you guys been working out before your games then?
Yeah, I do some sports.
There you go. So you play, you do physical sports as well as esports.
I do.
Because this is, I think, people often think that you have to be one or the other. Like you have to do one thing or the other rather than that you can do both. But a lot of you guys have a lot going on. Like I know a lot of you guys have part-time jobs. A lot of you do physical sports after school and then you come and play esports. Brian, you're laughing. Do you do sports?
Yeah, I do actually. I'm in the Ultimate Frisbee team. And I'm really good at it.
There you go. Confidence is important. What sports do you do, Ben?
As of now, I'm trying to get into volleyball team. And cool. I'm doing taekwondo.
Ah, that's wicked.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And the thing about esports is, like, this is a really good way for you to contribute to school. Your high school life will be so different if you get to join the school, get to like contribute something to the school. You're looking back and you're all like, oh yeah, when I was in high school, you know, my team made it into the national. Like, you got story to tell people. And I think that's like the satisfaction for people to join like a sports team.
I used to play League of Legends since like back in 4 years ago. And so I learned that there's esports for League of Legends, and I was like, oh, I was interested, and I tried joining it, and yeah, it was actually fun. Very, very fun.
You sound so surprised.
Yeah, because like, I didn't expect it to be like very intense.
Yeah.
But then when you're actually in game, it's like a different kind of mood.
Yeah. Do you guys have any like future aspirations in gaming? Is it something you're just thinking like, oh, I'll just do it at school? Or do you think like, oh, I'll join a university esports team. I'll become a streamer. I'll become the next biggest pro. Do you think about that ever?
Currently I'm streaming as well.
There you go.
I'm streaming on Twitch.
Yeah.
Twitch is a streaming service that enables people to live stream to others, especially to broadcast video games the streamers are playing to their audience.
I'm trying to stream on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to grow some channels, but slowly growing there and there.
Yeah.
But yeah. Slowly but surely. Hopefully.
Right. Did you guys use the libraries before you came in to play esports?
Yep. I use library for reading books and for studying as well.
Yeah.
And I also use it to meet up with friends just to have a group study.
Hang out.
Yeah.
Crystal, did you use the library?
I like to read, but I only read nonfiction books.
Ah, okay. Brian?
I mean, for me, I don't really read a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, to be fair, I don't read books a lot. I usually read, like, books online. Like, you know, like manga.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I do read, like, non-manga books. Yeah. But I still do it online.
Yeah, we have a bunch of manga at the library. I bet you've read it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must have taken out stacks and stacks of it. What do you guys think libraries are going to turn into in the future? Do you think that it's something that's dying? Or do you think, because a lot of people say that, a lot of people are like, oh, libraries are dying. Or do you think that if we work really hard, we can make some kind of new building that does really cool stuff? Have you guys ever thought about that before in your life?
I think library will slowly become a community center.
This is what I often think about too. Sort of like the word library may be being used to encompass something that is different than what we might imagine it as being. So like, yeah, there can be books, but maybe there's a gym. Maybe there's a huge esports space with like a bunch of really cool tech, you know, VR kits and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and especially like nowadays, people connect way easier than before. Like we have Facebook, we don't really contact people with like saying write a letter and wait 2 days until it arrives. We just flick them a text and then we meet up, right? So I think it's the same as reading books. Reading books no longer become individual kind of activity. Does that make sense? So I think library is going to slowly change into a community center which connects people with like same hobbies or even reading the same books, that kind of idea. Yeah.
It's really cool. I think that doing this with the esports is a really good way to kind of like spearhead that and kind of get it going and to get young people specifically into the libraries who are passionate about this like you guys are, and to be able to in the future keep growing it and keep making libraries change. This is all really wonderful. Jerry, do you have some things you'd like to say? Do you want to hop on one of the mics?
I do want to go back to the stereotypes of
let's talk about stereotypes.
Gaming and how it is like stigmatized a lot, but As we're going into more of like, because we have the League of Legends World Cup, that's starting to be more popularized. I'm pretty sure this one for 2K as well, basketball game.
And Valorant too.
Yep, Valorant.
Valorant is a shooter game in a shooter universe with a 5-person shooter team.
As it becomes more mainstream, a lot of people are more introduced and exposed to it, and they start to see that, oh, maybe this isn't so bad for our kids, because it really isn't. Well, too much of anything is bad. But with gaming, it's like you can use it for companionship and meeting new people, experiences like that. And it's really good to just like have real world experiences and like even developing your social skills, even if it's just through a mic. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Our final conversation is between Bridie and Evie Howell. Evie is an esports commentator, one of the many new careers to fall out of the growing esports industry. Much like other sports commentators, Evie commentates during live streams, often with a co-host, and uses their knowledge of the games being played to break down what's happening for the audience, as well as build excitement. This is even more crucial during video game events, as the knowledge gap between enthusiasts and casual audiences is often higher than that of traditional sport.
First of all, Evie, thank you so much for speaking with me. You are, of course, a commentator for Victory Up and various other gaming outlets. I wanted to talk to you first up about commentary as a technical skill. So what kind of training did you have to do to get into that industry, a specific industry like this, which is so niche in New Zealand? And how was that for you?
I think I was very fortunate in how I got into it. I think a lot of it was right place, right time. I had a background in comedy and improvisation. In high school, the only thing that got me through it really was theatre sports. It was really fun to do little, 3 to 4 minute kind of improvised skits on stage as a part of a little competition, as well as some up to hour long performances, just completely improvised. I guess that's a huge skill because you never know what's going to happen when you're commentating esports. So you got to be very flexible and agile in terms of what's going on. And I guess the other part is just having a huge interest in esports in general.
Mm-hmm. I have talked to you about this before, but I am a library assistant, and so I was helping to host the Upper Riccarton and Burnside high school teams. And like you talk about your experience in high school with your friends doing this, and it is exactly what I witnessed. Basically, was like walking into this room, seeing all these kids together, the teamwork, the communication skills, like all of these things these kids are able to do as a result of gaming, and it's in a space that they might not be otherwise accepted in.
I think it was one of my final years of high school. We were in a psychology class, and we were kind of talking about what makes a sport. But yeah, we had all the jocks, like rowers, footballers, and I played football as well. So like, I understood that sport aspect. But like, because the conversation was brought up of, is esports a sport? Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about kind of how labels and things work in the psychology class or something. Yeah, sport is defined as I'm not really exactly right, but I think if you Google it, it's something like a competition between an individual or a team, resulting in a common goal that exerts physical energy. Yeah, I don't know. It's just something that I've been so eminent about, that sports is sport. It provides that community. It provides that teamwork. The, you know, game day preparation, the practices, the, you know, intense moment of that, you know, victory, really.
Yeah, I think the teamwork thing is something I am a big fan of. As someone who works in a library, you know, and cares about community primarily over anything else, watching these kids form these really powerful bonds. And like, yes, they can be critical of each other because, you know, that's what people do when they're in a team and everyone's driving each other to be the best. But like when they win and there's the hugs and that, well, not in COVID times, but usually most of the time there's the hugs and the cheering.
Ideally
there's the high fives, and it's so wonderful. And something that I really wanted to do, talk about destigmatizing gaming and, you know, wanting people to take it seriously as a sport and as something that
as a competition
exactly, and as something that organizations like libraries or city councils should endorse and should be a part of. And I think that voices like yours are extremely powerful in doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so stoked that I can be around to build that. Yeah, mm. Because together, like, if you look at professional, like, CSGO or Valorant, you see, you know, in between each of those rounds, they're like fist bumping, they're hyping each other up. Let's go, you know.
Yeah,
it's yeah, togetherness and that spirit. That's so I'm really glad I can build that.
I wanted to talk to you as well about your experience hosting for Victory Up and hosting for Canterbury as well.
Yeah, it was well above my expectations. Honestly, like, so I'm studying at the University of Waikato.
Wonderful.
And the esports kind of club and the presence there is amazing. It's something that's growing and should really be taken seriously and as a kind of message to other universities to have that community. I was kind of blown away with how much support there was for these high school kids.
I think also gaming as a whole, and certainly esports legitimizing gaming and giving kids a career path to follow through, it's I think a refuge for some kids. Certainly some of the kids I know and have helped just to build, make accounts, or even just like explained the very, very basic tenets of the game. These kids are not sometimes welcome on the field, or if they're not welcome, they don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about that as well. Like, yeah. not every, and for some people, PE is your least favorite subject. Okay. No, for some kids, it is a nightmare to go and have to run around.
Mm.
And so, in my opinion, as long as you're healthy physically, if you're walking the dog, or if you're, riding your bike to school and back.
Mm-hmm.
Why not spend your afternoons practicing esports and whatnot?
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, we're wrapping up soon, but I wanted to know, is there anything you'd like people to know about? Is there anything that you are commentating soon or casting for soon or working towards at the moment that's really exciting?
Yeah, so Victory Up, we're doing another one in December 17th, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, as I'll be coming down to Christchurch to
that's so exciting.
Do some events and you can see my face there, as well as Auckland Armageddon is as well.
Oh, cool.
Assuming that all is all thumbs up and good, we'll be casting the finals of the New Zealand Rocket League. New Zealand Rocket League Championship, I think it's called, but yeah, University of Waikato is hosting it, so we'll have a stand there, and we'll be, I think it's on the Saturday of Auckland, as we'll see, teams that have been working hard for, there was a split that lasted 10 and a split that lasted 7 or 8.
Oof.
Yeah, and so the top 4 teams of each split have been into a knockout stage, and yeah, we've got our final 3, we've got a loser's bracket final and our grand final. Coming up, so that is going to be super exciting to do live in Armageddon.
Oh wow, that sounds really pumping.
Yeah, so that's what's on the card for the rest of the year. As for next year, I am an open book and I'm ready for it.
That's awesome. That's what I like to hear. I think you crushed it. Thank you so much.
With that, we conclude our episode. Since the 2020 tournament referenced throughout these two podcasts, the libraries have launched straight back into hosting esports training and placement sessions for new tournaments. In the coming year, we expect to see rangatahi using our facilities to train for League of Legends, Valorant, Teamfight Tactics, Rocket League, and more. We've also seen the establishment of Esports Ototahi, led by programming specialist Danny McNeil. Esports Ototahi aims to continue to grow and cultivate esports throughout Canterbury. You can get involved and find out more of them at esportsototahi.nz. You can follow along with the upcoming Victory Up hosted tournaments at victory-up.com, where you can view placements and register for workshops. There's also heaps of information about esports in New Zealand on esf.nz, the official Esports New Zealand Federation. Thank you for listening to our exploration of esports and Christchurch City Libraries. Te kite wānanga o ototahi. You can find more episodes of Ngā Kōrero o Waha on our website, christchurchcitylibraries.com, and most podcast platforms. Until our next episode, ka kite anō.